नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 एंटाइटल्ड टॉक्स बिटवीन नारद एंड किंग किंग पचिनबाई टेक्स्ट 57
संशया
अच्छा तू मे विप्रा संचिना तत्पिता महान ईशय अपि हि मुयान्ति यत्र न इन्द्रिया वितया संशयोच्चतु मे विप्रा संशिनस्तत्कृतो महान् ईशयोऽपि मुयान्ति यत्रानन्द्रियवित्तया संशयोच्चतु मे विप्रा संशिनस्तत्कृतो महान् ईशयोऽपि मुयान्ति यत्रानन्द्रियवित्तया संशयोच्चतु मे विप्रा संशिनस्तत्कृतो महान् ईशयोऽपि मुयान्ति यत्रानन्द्रियवित्तयः Samshaya, doubt. Atra, here. To, but. Me, my. Vipra, O Brahman. Sanchinaha, cleared. Tatkitaha, done by that. Mahan, very great. Ishayaha, the great sages, api, even, he, certainly, muyanti, a bewildered, yatra, where, na, not, indriya, of the senses, vitaya, activities. Translation. My dear Brahman, there are contradictions between your instructions and those of my spiritual teachers who engage me in fruitive activities. I now can understand the distinction between devotional service, knowledge, and renunciation. I had some doubts about them, but you have now very kindly dissipated all these doubts. I can now understand how even the great sages are bewildered by the real purpose of life. Of course, there's no question of sense gratification, responsibly. My dear Brahman, there are no contradictions between your instructions and those of my spiritual teachers who engage me in fruitive activities. I now can understand the distinction between devotional service, knowledge, and renunciation. I had some doubts about them, but you have now very kindly dissipated all these doubts. I can now understand how even the great sages are bewildered by the real purpose of life. Of course, there's no question of sense gratification. Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. So King Bhishman was engaged in different types of sacrifice for elevation to the heavenly planets. People generally attracted by these activities, and very rarely is a person attracted to devotional service, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms. Unless one is very, very fortunate, he does not take to devotional service. Even the so-called learned Vedic scholars are bewildered by devotional service. They're generally attracted to the rituals for sense gratification. In devotional service, there is no sense gratification, but only transcendental loving service to the Lord. Consequently, the so-called priests engaged in sense gratification do not very much like devotional service. The Brahmins, the priests, have been against this Krishna conscious movement since it began with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started this movement, the priestly class lodged complaints to the Qazi, the magistrate of the Mohammedan government. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to lead a civil disobedience movement against the propaganda of the so-called followers of the Vedic principles. These people are described as Kama Jara Smartas, which indicates that they are priests engaged in ritualistic ceremonies. It is here stated that such people become bewildered, Rishayopi Muyanti, to save oneself from the hands of these Kama Jada Smartas, one should strictly follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Savadama Pritaja, Mamikam Sharanam Vaja, Aham Tuam Savapabibyo, Moksha Yeshyami, Masuchara. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This is 18:6. Samsha Yotra Tume Vipa, Sanchina Statkito Mahan, Ishayopi Muyanti, Yatra Nandriya Vitaya. My dear Brahman, there are no contradictions between your instructions and those of my spiritual teachers who engage me in fruitive activities. I can now understand the distinction between devotional service, knowledge, and renunciation. I had some doubts about them, but you are now very kindly dissipated all these doubts. I can now understand how even the great sages are bewildered by the real purpose of life. Of course, there's no questions of sense gratification, Omigyana. Himalandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshu Umitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guha Vinama Shri Chaitanya Madhu Vishtam Shtapitam Jena Mutale Swayam Bhupa Padamayam Dadati Swapadam Tikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Padada Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Vanjakalpati Uvyacha Kripasi Nyuhe Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale, Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinanve, Namaste Saswati Deve, Gauravani Pachayane, Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pachititeshtayane. So, these two verses which is the verse we read yesterday, where the king says that I came to the conclusion that the acharyas who engaged me in food of activity did not know this confidential knowledge. And then he says, my dear Brahman, there are contradictions between your instructions and those of my spiritual master. So this indirectly, even though that's a long time before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, shows definitely is a description of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incredible mercy towards the people of Kali Yuga. King Pachinabharisat, he was a great grandson of King Prithu. He lived for hundreds of thousands of years in such a yuga. He had 10 sons who followed his instructions to go create progeny. And they went and meditated in some lake, in some kind of bay, for 10,000 years. Lord Shiva appeared to them, gave them a very beautiful prayer to offer to the Lord, so the Lord would actually appear to them. The Lord appeared to them and told them to marry a certain lady so they can have one good son. King Pachinabharisat was married to such a beautiful woman that when she was going around the fire of sacrifice, even Agni became attracted to her. It's explained that even the denizen of heaven, the demons from all the different lokas, they were attracted just by the ankle bells of his wife. Prabhupada explained that they were trying to see her, but because she was covered, they could only see her feet. So they were attracted by the ankle bells. King Pachinabharisat was not only expert in food of activities, but he was expert also in mystic yoga. And in that way, he attained the title Prajapati. People like Brahma, Manu, Daksha, they get Prajapati. But King Pachinabharisat also, he was known as Prajapati. So that was the greatness of King Pachinabharisat. But what is he saying? He say, oh, devotional service, very nice. I never heard about it. He's been living for so many years, a great king, everything at his fingertips. But for the first time ever, he's heard about pure devotional service. Now on the opposite, if you analyze people who join Krishna consciousness, like me for example, close to 30 years ago, I was 21, my life is not at all glorious. Expert in breaking the four principles, not only meat eater, but cow eater. And what is the first thing that I hear when I meet the devotees is about pure devotional service. That's the first thing that I hear, the only thing that I hear. So compare my life, or most of our lives, to the life of King Pachinabharisat, in terms of, because unless someone follows four principles, he's not even considered a human being. Therefore, he cannot even start beginning practicing religion. So this is what I was. But what is the first thing that I hear, not even following principles? Pure devotional service. So in that sense, we can understand that these verses, even though indirectly and not related directly to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy on us. How such a great king, and who had to come and tell him about devotional service? Narada Muni. Narada Muni doesn't go anywhere. He speaks to Prahlad, speaks to Pitu, he speaks to the Pachetas, he speaks to Dhruva Maharaj. He doesn't go to every person on the street. But now because of Prabhupada's mercy, books are translated in hundreds of languages and millions of people can just know about devotional service. So that is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on this age. And this is what we can understand also from these verses. He's saying, wow, what you're saying is totally in contradiction from what I heard from my teachers about, I always believe we should do food of activities. And he says, I think my teachers did not know or did not want to tell me. So this is one point when I was reading. It took me a long time actually. I read this verse throughout the years. But as I was reading again this time, I realized that definitely this is showing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful to us. Such a great king, such a powerful man. and never heard what we are getting in such an easy fashion. Patita pava intu tava avata. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that I have so many fruits of love to distribute. You know, there's a warehouse. Generally, when you have a warehouse and you have things in the warehouse and you take things out, then it becomes empty. But this warehouse of love of God, as you distribute the fruits, the more it fills. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is comparing itself to a gardener, but he says, how can I distribute all these alone? So that is his mercy. The second point that we can take here is that Shira Swami, not our ISKCON Shira Swami, not the Gaudiya Math, but the Parampara Shira Swami, said that let all these people discuss philosophy. Let these people jump from the hills and commit suicide. Let them go to the holy places, do meditational yoga. Let them do all these things. Because ultimately the only thing that is really worth is Krishna. And only through Krishna's mercy can one can understand or cross over the ocean of material existence. So Srila Prabhupada explains, and this is found in the prayers of the Vedas personified, that in the same way that someone who is born in a family recently, he cannot understand properly his forefathers because he wasn't there. He's recent, he's modern. So there's Krishna, there's Sankarsana, you have the Vishnus. Kavadakasya Vishnu is lying down, sleeping. He's going to wake up. From his breath comes the Vedas. And the Vedas are starting to sing hymns to wake him up. Prabhupada explains like a king, when he's sleeping, then all the different reciters, they come and they start chanting his glories and he wakes up hearing his glories. So similarly, Krishna is waking up in this way also. And then the universes come, Kavadakasya Vishnu comes, then Lord Brahma comes. Then from Lord Brahma, the two types of demigods come. The Renensi demigods like the Kumaras, and then the ones headed by Marichi, which create the whole progeny coming to the human beings and so on. So all this, Kamakanda, Jnanakanda, Yogakanda, all the six different philosophies from the different darshanis and so on, these are all considered modern, recent. Even though they've been existing for thousands of years, millions, I mean, Lord Brahma lives for trillions of years, still it's considered recent. So whatever appears after the Lord is considered recent, modern. And Prabhupada states again that in the same way as a child who appears in a certain family is considered recent and cannot understand his forefathers, any of these items cannot really understand the Lord. Because at the time of dissolution, the Vedas, time, subtle, ghost manifestation, all the different philosophies, all the philosophers, all this comes into the slumber, into Mahatattva, and just gets annihilated. So what is the way to go back to the spiritual world? There's no connection. There is no connection. It's like if you're in the ocean and someone is throwing one rope, the person in the ocean is throwing you a rope in the ocean. You'll still stay in the ocean. There's no way to come out. So all these items are considered modern or recent. So therefore, Prabhupada explains that the only thing that is not recent or modern is devotional service. Because that stays eternally with the Lord. That is the eternal energy of the Lord. And that is the only lifeline that we can pull on to get out of the ocean of material existence. Because when everything is trapped by dissolution, unless you have a connection to the outside, there's no way to come out. So all these different philosophies, even though it may advance, they may be, they cannot pull us out of this material existence. The only thing that will pull us out is pure devotional service. That because of that connection, which is a spiritual connection, everything gets destroyed, we are within it, but still that connection with the outside, that rope, is pure devotional service. So in that sense, Prabhupada explains, it's less explained if you read the 10th canto, the prayers of the personified Vedas, it's not That explained in that sense. The translators did not do it in that sense. But Prabhupada, if you look in the Krishna book, he spends a few paragraphs explaining this, how it's not possible with any other means than pure devotional service. And he explained logically why. So that is the reason. Because anything else apart from devotional service will become annihilated, will become destroyed. So even though we may have so many attachments, the only thing that will save us is pure devotional service. Now another point, here Prabhupada explains in the purport how so many people are against pure devotional service. What is day for materialist is night for spiritualist. Day for spiritualist is night for materialist. Materialists and spiritualists will never get along, such different philosophies. I'm not this body, I'm this body. The body's meant to enjoy, the body's not meant to enjoy. So similarly with people who want fruitive activities and pure devotional service, they cannot get along. And we know, whenever someone loses power or the ability to enjoy, they can become very nasty. And we see Bhaktisiddhanta was preaching, and they tried to kill him also. They were trying to bribe this officer, who came to him and told him, I can be bribed, but not to kill a sadhu. So he escaped. Even in the story of Jesus Christ, you see the Brahmins or these teachers, the priests, they felt so threatened their powers that they killed them. They felt threatened when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came because they lose power. So people in general are not interested by pure devotional service. Because why are we here? Because we want to enjoy. So anything else, we are not interested. And Hari means to take away. And therefore, less intelligent people worship the demigods because they get whatever they want. After a certain amount of, sacrifice, they'll get what they want. But Krishna may not give. Sometimes he gives, like in the story of Sudam, Prabhupada says in the purport, in the Krishna book, that he gave him the wealth because he could take it. But we see that most devotees are poor. Krishna doesn't give us too much, so we hang. But if we go beyond this purport, we can understand in ourselves that to the degree of sense gratification or desires for sense enjoyment, gross or subtle, that we keep lingering in the heart, to that amount is your position we have for pure devotional service. The amount of sense gratification we allow to grow in the heart, to that amount is our own position with our own heart. I always like that purport of Jayapataka Maharaj in Vaishnava K. Bhaktisiddhanta has this poem, 19 verses on, what kind of Vaishnava are you? So in one of the purports, Jayapataka Maharaj explains that when someone joins Krishna consciousness, the mind is very happy. But after a while, the mind starts realizing, that's not what I want. I means I have to give up. So then, because the commitment has been done already, it's not possible for the mind to straightforwardly says, well, I don't want to do it. Because I said I want to do it. Like, for example, if I accept to help you in doing something, to move something, for example, and I say yes, and then I don't want to do it. I can't just come straightforward and say, no. This is all in Maharaj's purport. Not the exact examples, but I don't want to do it. So I have to find a reason. Oh, you did this, I'm not going to help you. So then the mind is thinking, this person eats too much. What are these devotees that send japa and then they speak? And then look at all these people doing, I don't want to do it. So the mind is thinking like this and the mind is cheating like that. Obviously, after 20, 30, 40 years, it may be there, but in a different form. In the cleansing of the Gudicha temple, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, he speaks about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's explanation. And he said that it's difficult to identify the weeds from the pure plant. And the example Prabhupada gives is someone may do business, may want to do some business. But how much is it for him and how much is it for Krishna? And then from there may come desire for worship or the desire to be served, recognition. These are all very subtle desires. The gross desires are quite easily to overcome. But then there's a notion of subtle desires. It's explained in the Bhagavatam when the yogi goes through and leaves his body, he goes through different realms. And all these different realms have different attraction. Oh, mystic yoga, oh this, oh that. All stopping him. And the heart is not clean, then it's going to become attracted. So within the heart also, we have that opposition to pure devotional service. There's a constant, I don't know for you, but there's a constant battle in me all the time between sense gratification and pure devotional service. Obviously, it took another form after many years. It's not a ghost sense. It's very subtle. Because as you go in Krishna consciousness, people, respect will develop, people will, service will increase, different things will come. Now, how much is it for Krishna? How much is it for myself? Because devotees have to take responsibility, have to give shelter to younger devotees, have to be able to relate to equal devotees, have to be able to worship older devotees. This Vaishnava etiquette must be there. But how much of this are seeds, are weeds? How much of this is actually destroying my desire for pure devotional service? So that's another point that I saw that we could think. Because obviously externally we'll have so many people fighting this Krishna conscious movement. You see it, you saw in Russia, you'll see it everywhere. And Prabhupada said that the more we preach sincerely, if people actually fight against us, means we're doing the right thing. Prabhupada said that if they knew what I was going to come and do, they would have not let me come in. Because people have no, even for us, it's difficult to understand the whole extent of this Krishna conscious movement. This movement has been predicted, this movement has been done by the Lord, and this movement will expand with us or without us. This is there. It will come and it will take over the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu created that flood, and Nityananda Prabhu is taking the heads and putting them in the water. For sure, everyone, somewhere or another. So it's so powerful, such a powerful extent. But how much of us are we going to take advantage of it? So, at least for me, I preach to myself, but we always have to remember that the goal is pure devotional service. And as we advance in devotional service, different tests will come, which are subtle tests, which will try to impede that pure devotional service. But if we remember that the only way for us to come out of this material world is pure devotional service, then we can be successful. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, please. Did I mention easy questions?
Hare Krishna. I was just wondering why the king referred to his teachers as spiritual teachers if they were teaching him karmakanda.
Yeah, it's a good question. Let me see what the translation is. Because, you know, Prabhupada makes a lot of, like, for example, in the translation of Bhagavad Gita, he translates Karma Yoga as pure devotional service. If it's translated, he explains, you'll see in the verse, he'll say, or in the purple, he'll say devotional service. Karma Yoga is not devotional service, depending how you use it. So let me see what they say about spiritual, the translation, and then we can ask other advanced Vaishnavas here. One second. The teachers of fruitive activities. And then he says, my spiritual teachers, vipras, brahmins. So you see, here it's translated as brahmin, not as spiritual. Now obviously, I mean, the whole path is a spiritual path, that you come from the beginning to the end. They're all different levels to the spiritual level. So that's what I would say. Anyone else wants to say something? Yes. Brahmins. Oh.
Oh yeah, oh Brahman. So the great sages.
They translate them as great sages.
Good.
Rishaya.
Rishaya, yes.
My explanation would be that because the path is a spiritual path, and that's why Prabhupada translated as a spiritual teacher. Anything else? Yes, Prabhuji.
Even in the fruit, those performing Kanda activities, they have to worship Narayan first anyway, yes, so yes. The Shalagram is there, they do the puja.
Correct.
But they're just doing it as a formality. We have to do this, and then we can approach the demigods. They're more interested in the demigods than worshipping Vishnu. But because he's connected, then you can see the spirituality.
Makes sense. Because the whole process is basically, the Vedas are expert to adapt depending on one's advancement. Oh, you're smoking today? Okay, smoke once a week, you know? You're doing this, you're eating meat? Okay, eat meat in this way. You're doing this, do it in this way. And then when you do this gradually, you come to the realization, oh, I'm killing this animal, next life is killing me. Maybe I should stop. Then I'm speaking to the Brahman, then the Brahman speaks about afterlife. Oh, there's another life. Oh, I can go to heavenly planets. Yeah, but beyond this is all material, the spiritual world. So actually, yes, it's all the whole spiritual process. Yes, Buddha. Janagamipur.
In the beginning, you spoke about your disqualification for receiving this information about pure devotional service, and yet these other people are so elevated and so forth, and they're not getting it immediately. The question is, why does Krishna hold back? Is it a matter of their desire, or why hasn't he presented all this information to all these people before? You know, question is similar to the idea of Christ coming, you know, and all the people before him were not saved, and yet when he came, people could be saved. But the idea is, why does he hold back at different times from this mercy if he wants to get people out of the material world?
Well, I don't know if he's holding back, because every age is a different process for spiritual advancement. And there's a certain process to make and to come to a certain stage. It's just like Kali Yuga is a special time where Chaitanya, and not all Kali Yugas, but the Kali Yuga where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, then we have this facility. So I don't know, I don't think he's holding on. I think there's a process, and then everyone has to do, like they're going to do yagyas for thousands of years, and they're going to do yoga, and gradually they come to the point of understanding bhakti yoga. That's the whole process. After many thousands and millions of years, someone does this. I don't think there's a holding back. I think there's a certain formal process that one has to follow, except that this process is facilitated for us because of being so fallen. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay. Because we know in Satya Yuga there's different age, Satya Yuga, all the different ages, different processes, but only in Kali Yuga is there this facility for us because of being so fallen.
There's a verse in the Christian's teaching, Jesus says that his kingdom is like a man who had laborers in the field. And some of them labored all day, and some of them labored just for a few hours. He paid them all the same, so it's a similar idea.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned regarding Krishna, who is holding back some opulences or abundance to the devotees. Devotees, they are poor. This statement. When Krishna is mentioning in Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Kshemam Namami Aham, he provides what we need and he protects what we have already. And according also to Davi Varnashram, I mean, myself, I can see around me in Europe, most devotees who are engaged according to their Varna and Ashram, they are living according to their occupation and duties, and they have more than enough to. So poverty stricken is really, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, is not given to devotees, but Krishna is avoiding that devotees, they fall into atyahara. Atyahara prajasya, this is what Srila Prabhupada Goswami is mentioning about the six items for spoiling devotional service. So poor, I will, according to the Shastra, our Shastric evidence, poverty stricken, I think it's not related with devotees. Devotees, they have more than enough, just enough to serve Krishna, like Krishna is mentioning in the Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Kshemam Namami Aham. And one who is a Vaishya, I see myself also around me, I see many Vaishyas, they have more than enough also for living. But Krishna is always protecting his devotees that don't fall into atyahara.
Yeah, but your mind is brahminical, so simple. So not everyone who joins Krishna consciousness will have this brahminical tendency or this brahminical simplicity. Some people will need more to surrender to Krishna. So one can live in a hut and one will need to live in a palace. It doesn't mean that, because ultimately if you have a palace and you give up the palace to go to the forest, you've not given up anything, because neither the forest nor the palace belongs to you. The only thing that we give up is this false mentality that it belongs to me. Like this pauper, he goes in the shopping center and says, oh, I give it all up. This poor person, nothing belongs to him. So we are paupers. So it's true. But that's why Yukta Vairagya is there. And Prabhupada said he wanted to build all these temples because, oh, I think it was in Hawaii or somewhere. Prabhupada was sitting in a nice room and the reporter says, well, you preach simplicity. He said, well, if I was under the tree, would you come and see me? So Prabhupada built all these facilities to bring all these people because most people wouldn't come. So yes, it's true. But a lot of devotees have these dreams to make a lot of money so they can serve Krishna consciousness. That is also a connection to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's purport on making sure it's not a weed as opposed to the plant of devotional service. But we can't judge people because they need more. Some people will need more. And that's okay if they need more. Then they'll work more for it. As long as they chant, they try to follow principles, and they, you know, try to practice and preach a little bit, then that's fine. And some of the people will live, you know, in a forest or in a farm. It does make sense what I'm saying? And I agree with you that you can't say anyone's poor because, I mean, everyone experiences at the end of the month, money comes. You don't have money. Wow, I pay my bill. I forgot to ask, as I'm saying. But that is there. Krishna arranges. But not everyone will be at the level. A lot of people may not be able to continue Krishna conscious living in such poor environments. It depends how advanced one may be. Yes, Mataji, Mother Bhakti.
I have a comment.
Sure. Please do.
I was appreciating the point you made about somebody. Say maybe there's, in the beginning, there's a lot of taste, or there's just so much joy in Krishna consciousness, and then it kind of, it can taper off, and then maybe wanting to, like, leave, or it's really challenging to keep up a sadhana or whatever those, but because, okay, I gave my word and I made a commitment, then I'm gonna stay. And so often, instead of just saying, oh, I wanna give it up, then that's my responsibility, or I'm gonna blame the process. So I was just appreciating how you're saying the mind does that, because I often will blame the process of Krishna consciousness, like, oh, I don't wanna wake up early, or I don't wanna chant my rounds or something. It's the process, but actually it's just my mind becoming purified. And I was reflecting on the power of giving my word to someone, especially to Krishna or my spiritual master, because that's so powerful. And maybe that's one of the definitions of surrender. It's not some ethereal thing. Surrender is like, I give my word to you, I'm going to do this, even if I don't want to. That's the power of my word, and giving of myself completely means I'm going to do what I'm saying.
Any other questions? You know that example when you dig a hole and you put sand back in the hole? It's so easy to dig up again. But then when you come to the level you want to dig more, it becomes more difficult. So sometimes people that join Krishna consciousness, it's so easy because they were digging last life. All they're doing is... But then when they come to the point that it becomes difficult, that is the test. So it's difficult to compare ourselves to others. We have to compare ourselves to us, where we were yesterday, where am I today, where am I going to be tomorrow? And because some people maybe have dug the hole where there was a lot of sand, and then they're not digging anymore and they stopped. So where are they now? So advancement might be based on our own spiritual advancement and determination. I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj was giving a class in doing the GBC meeting in Detroit in the 90s. And he says in the beginning, people are so excited to join Krishna consciousness and they make so much advancement. And then as years go, we become a little more complacent and we don't feel that same bliss. Because he was explaining that amount of surrender is less. And I can see it in myself. So let's say, for example, every year you become less 2%. Imagine after 20 years, you're 40% less. So we always have to renew our enthusiasm. That's why one of the elements is enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness. And that's why we have to seek that association of devotees and enthusers. We have to go to that place where we feel enthused by devotees. Because if you're not enthused, you're dead. And there'll be no spiritual advancement. And that's why it's so important to associate with devotees, go to kirtans, and not like this Vaishnava K poem of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati is all based on not going in a solitary place and thinking I'm so advanced. Because that also is a trick of the mind to kill devotional service. The mind is always finding tricks to stop you until we fully surrender, and then Maya, she helps us like that. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Oui, monsieur.
You were speaking about enthusiasm just now.
Yes, sir.
Without preaching, there is no taste. So, could you comment on this point? Can you give?
Yeah, but preaching has many ways. Preaching doesn't mean just book distribution. Although preaching and book distribution you should do. But preaching may be, you know, I'm working outside and I have, like for example, when I was working in Gainesville, I had an altar, you know, in my office. People would come see Mindori, see my wife and say, nice. So that's also preaching. It may not be the best, but the bliss is that, the bliss of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the same way that when Rishikesh is called Rishikesh, he's the master of all senses. So when Krishna becomes pleased, eat through, and you act through Krishna, this pleasure goes through. Like when Arjuna was shooting arrows on the battlefields, he explained that Krishna was shooting directly. So when one engages in preaching or giving the transcendental knowledge, that bliss goes from Krishna going down, goes through us. So yeah, we have to preach, but preaching is in many ways. You preach to your kids, you preach to yourself. You practice seriously, you chant. Why I'm saying this comment, because book distribution is definitely highest and we have to preach and all that way. But preaching has many forms. So preaching, basically engaging in Krishna consciousness is also preaching, because when I engage in Krishna consciousness, what is it? Haridas Thakur tells Sanatana Goswami, who is it? The opposite. Haridas said, oh, you do both, you preach and you practice. Some people, they practice, but they don't preach. Some people preach, but they don't practice. So when you're practicing, to show example, you're also preaching in that sense. That would be my explanation. Maharaj, you have any comments? I feel very shy to speak in front of you. No? Thank you. Jai, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.